listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Lest I must confess, my destiny manifests in some Gore-Tex and sweats. I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Porgy and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes! Bless you if you represent the fool, but I hex you with some witch's brew if you do voodoo. I could do what you do easy, believe me. For any niggas give me heebie-jeebie. So why you imitating Al Capone? I be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. I'm gonna find you and make you want me. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday, the first Sunday of NFL season.
Yes, dun, 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 dun.
It is upon us, but of course, you won't catch me watching NFL Red Zone or the NFL Channel today. Why? Because that's right, brothers and sisters. We have joined Colin Kaepernick and boycotting the NFL in this house right here.
We are not boycotting. We are boycotting because the NFL and U-verse want to fall out, so we can't watch it. I don't got a boycott. I got a boycott because as soon as that shit come back, I'm hopping on the other side.
Wow, sis. Wow. You just gonna blow up my spot like this?
I'm
trying to get some of this woke cred in these streets, okay?
Mm-mm.
The people on the message boards, the people on Twitter, the people on Facebook, and in the groups, they've been talking about us. They've been like, y'all don't want to boycott. Y'all not really down with the cause. Y'all not woke enough. This is my chance to hop on the woke train.
I'm not woke enough. I'm still sleeping. I'm okay with taking a nap every now and then.
Wow, that's some coonery and buffoonery, okay? I personally will be boycotting. I stand with Kaepernick. Jay-Z is a coon as far as I'm concerned. All right, you got people cutting off their hair and they dreads and stuff like that. No, I'm not with the shit, okay? I think all black people should be able to get corporate jobs no matter what their hair look like, all right?
I agree with you with
So off tops right there, I'm on the side of Cap, okay? I don't think you should be able to go to an interview in a thong if you want to. If you can get the job, you get the job, okay? Strippers interview in thongs, they get the job.
Yeah, they do.
So, I don't care. Karen might be a coon over here, all right? I'm not a Negro bed wench, all right? I'm standing proud. I'm saying proud on the African-American side. Okay,
you go ahead and do that, and as soon as somebody click the on switch, you gonna be right on over here with me.
Well, that's not what's happening
with your
right now.
Tap dancing shoes on.
Look, just because I check the channel guide every 15 minutes to see if it's updated does not mean that I want to watch the NFL or the NFL Red Zone. Okay, I forget that.
I'm only here for the touchdowns.
This is what's wrong with y'all black people. Okay, y'all can't never
football.
Y'all can't never do nothing. Y'all can't never stick together. Y'all always can't wait to turn on another brother. As soon as some of the brothers walked in with guns, but they walked out with jobs. That's just what they said.
I'm gonna
get you, sucker.
I'm not turning my back on nobody. I didn't tell nobody they couldn't boycott to your heart's content. Turn your TV off and find something else to do.
You don't have to be so proud. You don't have to be so proud of it.
Hey, but ain't you the one that ordered the sauce? What are we talking about here?
Order what sauce?
A shucking and jive and barbecue sauce. We got two bottles to show up at the house.
Ain't you the one that's going to eat the ribs or the wings?
I sure am.
Okay, so then
so you can eat the shucking and jiving sauce, but I'm shucking and jiving because I'm full cotton.
For the NFL. You down with the NFL
right now. What's
the
difference? Shucking and jiving is in the sauce, and shucking and jiving is the other way, too. It's
everybody,
the same.
Everybody knows the delineating line in pro-blackness right now is whether or not you watch the NFL. If you don't watch the NFL, you pro-black and militant enough. If you do, you a coon. And so all the brothers playing coon. I'm more woke than Eric Reed actually will go out there and play for a check. Not me. I wish the NFL would offer me $1 million to play the white man's game. I don't think so, Eric. How about you stop shuckling and jiving out there in the backfield, and you go ahead and grow some balls and get out here with the rest of us.
Why you pretending? That's why you got your fake fed up shirt, because your fed up
is fed up with the NFL. That's what it is, and this shirt is real. I'm fed up with the NFL.
Lies. Where's the lies?
It's time to get to these articles, guys, okay? There's a lot of news going on besides people, you know, cooning and
fake woke
buck,
over there,
and Negro buck dancing for the white man in the NFL. Some of us have actual things to talk about.
I'm Negro twerking, and I'm with that. At least, you know, I'm on beat.
You know, Harriet could have saved even more people if they knew they were slaves. It's not a thing she actually said, but it's a thing that we like to pretend that she said for some reason.
For some unknown reason.
Nicki Minaj has decided to retire and have my family, she said.
Good for her.
The Queens rapper tweeted out she retired from music. She took to Twitter on Thursday to write, "I've decided to retire and have my family. I know you guys are happy now. To my fans, keep repping me. Do it to the death of me in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me." Cause, you know, she got to get some bars in. And to her bars, she added, "Love you for life." So, yeah, she's with, Kenneth Petty. That's her man right now. The dude that, she's been dating since December 2018. And some people even speculated that she's like engaged to him. I don't know if it's true or not, you know. I just saw a lot of speculation about it. And she also was on Twitter Saturday offering advice about self-love and toxic relationships. She said, "I first had to learn how to love myself. If you wouldn't let a man treat your mother, your sister, or best friend like that because you love them, then you wouldn't let a man treat you like that because you love you." In late July, news emerged that Minaj and Petty had officially obtained a marriage license. Prior to that, on Chance the Rapper's new album, The Big Day, Minaj hinted at a future with Petty when she rapped, "My nigga at home now. He declined to my Bonnie, about to walk down the aisle and be a mommy." Minaj's relationship with Petty has been met with controversy, particularly since Petty is a registered sex offender who was convicted of attempted rape when he was 16 years old. Petty also served 4 years of a 10-year sentence after pleading guilty to first-degree manslaughter in 2006. Regardless, Minaj has constantly fought back against fans and critics who condemned her for dating Petty. I'm sorry. Minaj's declaration of retirement. Yeah, the thing with the Petty thing, I don't know, is I don't know the details of what that case was. And, you know, him being 16 at the time does kind of put a different take on it than what I heard, which was that the girl was 16 or something and he was like over a certain age. So I don't know the details of it, and if it happened when he was 16, maybe they're sealed details or something like that. But it does seem like because of that, people want him to essentially not be able to date Nicki Minaj, which I mean, that's her life.
I'm about to say, y'all can't control that.
If that's what she want to do, that's what she want to do, you know. And if he ain't, I guess, technically hurting anybody or hurting her or whatever right now, then I mean, you're not really gonna be able to make a case for, I don't know, it's so weird, because it'd be the same people that's like, "I believe in second chances, prison system is too much and all this shit," but at the same time, we really do want these strikes to be for life for these motherfuckers. Ooh. Like, nah, you did that shit at 16, that's it for you, bro.
Yep. If they don't like you, like you said,
there's no place for you in polite society, period. Nope. Like, your ass needs to be relegated to, you know, minimum wage jobs and away from human beings forever.
You know, right.
And I don't, like I said, without knowing the details of any of this crime, like, you know, that seems to be the general sentiment about that dude.
Yeah, it's restorative justice for the people that I like it. I don't like you, it's no restorative justice. You can never come back to society. And it's a fuck you. If it happens to me personally, oh yeah, it's all about restorative justice. Because it's me and my family and my loved ones. Like I said, people don't extend that compassion out to everybody. So, and everybody's a hypocrite, including myself, when it comes to these things. I'm not gonna say, it's just the human nature to do that, you know, as far as, try to quote unquote dictate or determine, but at the end of the day, you don't have no control over it.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I that's the first time hearing that he was 16 at the time, as opposed to the sexual assault victim was 16. So now I don't know, because literally that could be a lot of different shit, you know. They like the, you know, it could be a lot of shit. That's all I put. I don't know the details, so I'm not gonna speculate. Minaj's declaration of retirement also comes after the rapper blasted the media influencers for trying to tear her down. During the Instagram live, she said, "Those people came together to try to end me and sweetheart. Before I get off this Insta, let me say this, it'll never fucking happen." Yeah, so, you know, it's weird, right? Because we don't know her, but just from what we see of her on social media and in the papers and her Queen radio show and stuff, it's like she's been acting more and more sporadic over the years, and it's
affecting her. I maybe it's just, I can say I'm on the outside looking in.
Yeah, that's what we see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how the fuck. Mm-mm. Maybe she was always like this and then we just started seeing more and more of it in public. I don't
Correct.
Know what I will say is this though, she seems very hyper focused on the critics of her and the, mm-hmm. and she has a lot of followers on social media, and she be on there like it's not a thing where it's like she, you know, like Beyonce where people are like, I don't know if she on there or not.
Yeah, she doing the shit that the quote unquote internet tell you to do.
What do you mean?
The internet tell you to engage and be out there and interact, you know, with us.
Internet's kind of mixed on that.
Right, but that's the thing. She quote unquote fell for the trap.
There's a lot of people that say you're not. You know, there's a lot of people out there that's like, no, Beyonce does it right. So, like, the people that don't interact are the smartest ones and the ones that are best. I don't, you know, there's different. Yeah.
And it varies, quote unquote, per person, but you know, it's a subsection, put like that, of the internet that says this. They get this and then they complain about how you're out there too much.
Yeah, she likes to whip her fans up into a frenzy. She does send them to attack people, not in the vague, like, I had an issue with this, but like, she really does relish in them, like, doxing people and getting people fired and stuff like that. Like, she's big into that. So the thing I was gonna say though, on the outside looking in, not knowing her, she kind of feels like what happens when people say, like, you know, every day I wake up just so my haters know that da 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 da, or will you like live for the people that don't, the, like, because she gets way more love than hate if you look at overall, because you can't have a career the way that Nicki has a career if everybody hates you. So
because them barbs goddamn love her.
Yeah, and you know, and whether it's barbs or not, just like the people still will go see her, people still listen to her music. Mm-hmm. And then when people were like bringing up other artists and stuff, women especially that were like coming up, she did seem to buy into like, fuck these hoes, I'm the boss, I'm the baddest one. And people, you know, you can, that's chicken or egg argument. Some people say, well, we always pitting women against each other, cool, but they don't have to buy into it. And I think the new crop of women is kind of proving you don't, you know. Megan Thee Stallion is out here like taking pictures with everybody, not dissing over, like still raps about being the baddest bitch and number one, all this shit, but then when she's out, she's like, oh, here's another fellow bad bitch, we out here doing our thing. So, you know, that energy, you know, it proves that it can work. You know, it doesn't have to be, well, I see someone coming up behind me, how do I squash on them, you know? And that seems like what Nicki's energy was at first. But even with Megan, like, she did a song with Megan, you know, like, and that's why after weeks and weeks of people pitting them against each other, like they did Instagram live together, like, I don't know, it just seemed like she's so reactive to like every opinion, like about her, everything being said. And I think from the clips I've heard of her, like with Joe Budden and on her Queen radio, it seemed like she really wants to defend her honor by attacking these people for their opinions. And I'm sure that that's very tempting because, you know, people do lie. People are very like, what's the best? Not charitable. People are very not charitable when they talk about celebrities and people that they don't like. So I can get that feeling, but it's like, man, she got rabbit ears. And I wonder if this quote unquote retirement, whether it's temporary, I expect it to be temporary. She's 32.
She'll be back. Yeah, I think she'll be back.
Yeah, I think she, you know, and which is sad if she doesn't come back, because honestly, like, the shelf life for a woman rapper it does seem like it just expires. Like, there's no comparison, there's no comparable woman rapper like Jay-Z. There's no Nas's, and there's no Eminem's in women rap. Like, women hit that threshold where they're no longer just the quote-unquote sex symbol, and then people are like, go away. I think the oldest woman rapper we have that's really still doing things is Trina.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to think of others. Like, Missy just put out a new album, but that was after what, a 13-year hiatus or something. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we just expect women to go away, like stop rapping, go home and just do something else. Men, hey, you can rap about getting bitches and hoes and shit for the rest of your life.
Yes, you can if you choose to.
Some of these rappers, we don't even discover. Men rappers sometimes we don't even discover them till they're 30-something.
Right.
You know, 2 Chainz rebrands at 30. You know, Jay-Z, I think, didn't start really rapping until almost 30. Getting popular with it. Rick Ross, you know, had a whole other career as a CEO and shit before he started rapping. Like, I don't know. And I know Nicki's a hard person to make a case for a lot of folks, but I do worry, like, what it means for the industry if one of the best women rappers out right now just retires at 32 and that's it. So I kind of hope she does come back, and more importantly, man, even if she don't, I hope she finds some like happiness
and peace.
I don't know her obviously, but from what you see online, she don't seem, that's not what happy people do. And she be on them interviews in huge denial, like, I am happy. Oh, I'll kill you bitches. I'm like, nigga, that don't sound happy. Mm-mm. Like, you sound super in denial and stressed. Like, this game will eat your ass up, and then like every detail of your life feeling like you need to get that approval from Instagram, and you know, like, who I'm dating needs approval, my song needs approval, who I'm friends with needs approval, me dissing another woman, I want more approval than she getting, like the opinions of everybody on the radio talking about me, I need that approval. Like, it'll drive you crazy, man. Let's see what else happened, guys. Kroger's has asked customers not to open carry guns in their stores.
What sorts of stuff about that? Starting to have a no conceal policy. And people go, I won't shop there. Well, bitch, don't shop there. We don't want you there. I feel like that's not going there.
Here's the thing I gotta ask y'all, and we're from North Carolina. I know we have a concealed carry thing. I don't know if we have an open carry thing. I think we do. You do allow concealed carry. I don't think we allow open.
I don't think we do either.
So here's my question though, guys. How often do y'all think y'all are in a store with an open carry or even open carry person with a gun? Like, is it very, very common? Like, y'all are looking around all the time like, damn, you know, fifth person I saw in Walmart today with open carry. Cause like, I'll see the occasional picture, but it makes it sound like it doesn't happen often, where it's like, man, I'm in Walmart and this nigga got a gun. Or
probably depends on the state.
That's what I'm saying. I'm asking our fans, like, is it something, you know, they're in the chat now, is it something y'all are seeing a lot? Because my guess is kind of like that NRA thing where they say we're gonna boycott this luggage. My guess is it ain't that many of y'all who gives a fuck. I'm never shopping at Kroger. Okay, 3 people, get the fuck on. We'll miss the $3 worth of extra sales or whatever profit we were getting. Like, you can go. Like, I don't think it's just loaded to the bear with a bunch of fucking guns, right, nuts that are like, you know, in the checkout line holding everything up. Like, I don't think that's a threat at all. Oh, we won't attend your business. Okay. So and they announced it just hours after Walmart made a similar announcement. Yeah. I wonder if they felt stupid, like, man, we should have did it first.
That's true. And June brought up a good question. Okay, you had this policy, so what do you do? Because some people are gonna say fuck it and walk in there. So now you're gonna demand your employees tell these people they can't come into your store, and then you have a huge ass altercation because somebody's gonna challenge this law. Somebody's gonna walk in there and be like, fuck your rules.
I mean, call the police and, you know, handle it that way.
That's the only way.
I mean, that's what happened with the Walmart dude. That, remember that after the Walmart shooting, there was another guy who just decided, I'm gonna test the Second Amendment and walk up in here with, you know, guns all strapped to my body and film myself.
So now they got the right. They probably tell them, don't approach them, just call 911. Let them walk around the store and just have them arrested, and we couldn't just deal with it like that, because the rule is no guns, and we meant that.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. We'll see what happens, but you know, it's just that thing where once again, a corporation does more than the fucking lawmakers who are elected by the people. We're depending on corporate fucking morality to fix the problem of society. That's never good. Speaking of which, Tyler Perry is using his private plane to deliver supplies to the Bahamas.
Wonderful.
Because you can't depend on George W. Bush and nobody like that. Mm-hmm. Can't depend on them to figure it out. They got, basically gonna need billionaires to do their thing. Actor Tyler Perry is doing what he can to help people in the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian devastated the islands. According to TMZ, the movie mogul is using his own personal seaplane based in Nassau to deliver relief supplies to the Abaco Islands. The area was one of the hardest hit by Dorian. TMZ says his plane has made at least 2 trips on Thursday and is hoping to send several more as recovery efforts continue. Water, juice, diapers, sleeping bags, and other necessities were reportedly packed onto the plane and delivered. Perry also reportedly brought 7 people, including children, back to the U.S. on return trips who needed medical attention. Wow. I wonder what the rules are for that. Because you know how these motherfuckers are about brown people coming across the goddamn border these days. It's like, I got a medical emergency. I don't want this person to die. Well, buddy, hold up now. Hold up.
A U.S. citizen?
Let me hold up this paint swab and see where they at on the scale. In a social media post earlier this week, Perry wrote that he was planning to help. To all the incredible people of the Bahamas who have welcomed me and called me an adoptive son, I want you to know that I'm watching closely, and as soon as I can, I'll be there to do whatever I can to help you rebuild stronger and better. You're not only in my heart and my prayers, you're in my blood. God bless you. Stay Bahama strong. The sun will shine again. So, that's good. That's good shit. Good for him. Let's see what else happened. The police have charged a couple after they spent more than $100,000 that the bank accidentally gave them.
Ooh, no, it come to folks and they money, particularly like that, flag that immediately. That's somebody gonna realize them zeros is gone.
It's funny how it's a crime for us to do it that way, but it's not a crime for the bank to do it the other way.
Right.
Like, if the bank accidentally take too much of my money, I just gotta go down there
and talk to them,
figure it out, hope I get my money back. But when they give me too much money and I'm like, oh, I spent it, they like, nope, jail.
Right, then their mind, it wasn't your money. Well, the shit, it wasn't your money to fucking take either.
They're facing theft charges and more than $100,000 in overdraft fees. Oh, $100,000 in just overdraft fees after allegedly using the money that was accidentally deposited to their bank account. Investigators say Robert and Tiffany Williams had $120,000 deposited to their account at BB&T on May 31st through a mistake by a teller. But instead of contacting the bank about the deposit, the couple allegedly spent the next 2.5 weeks using most of the money. They was doing the most with the money, sound like.
It took BB&T a while to catch that error, didn't it?
I know, as soon as they saw that damn ATM receipt, they was...
They ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like it. I be getting to the money. Everybody, man.
You ready to go on vacation, baby?
Think I'm getting too much money.
I got a car, got my everybody own. Man.
Same old nigga from the block.
Let's go shopping.
Same old nigga.
Thinking of the Bahamas.
We can fly first class.
Speaking of private jets,
come on, we're not on.
They said apparently, the couple allegedly spent the next 2.5 weeks using most of the money. Neighbors were stunned. That is kind of shocking, neighbor Nate Weaver said. With all the procedures the banks have set up, checking and double checking and triple checking.
Right, somebody's gonna eventually find out their money was missing.
There's no way anybody gets away with that stuff. State police say the couple bought an SUV, 2 4-wheelers, a camper, and a car trailer.
I told you, vehicles.
Well, they was living like the righteous gemstones out there. A police report said they used the money on bills, car repairs, cash purchases, and even gave $15,000 to friends in need of money. Okay.
Ooh, you ain't never getting that money back.
If
I was a friend to benefit, nobody.
I stand.
That was a gift.
I stand a charitable scammer, okay? Y'all looked out for the hood. I would check in with the bank first before I did anything, say Robert Payton, another neighbor. I'm not that dumb, but some people do stupid things sometimes. Man, I'll sit up there and act like I ain't know. Man, I thought they just had gave me $120,000 for being nice.
How the fuck was you supposed to know the $15,000 was stolen? Shit, you wouldn't know.
I'm not talking about, you still stuck on the people that got $15,000. I'm talking about the people that got $120,000.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying if I was them, I'd go into court and be like, man, I just thought the bank was being nice and gave it to me. I mean, what? I'm supposed to be checking with them. I mean, they the bank.
They the bank.
Once the bank realized its mistake, it transferred $120,000 to correct the amount. It contacted Tiffany Williams on June 20th and told her the couple had to pay back $107,000 in overdraft fees they incurred. On June 21st, the bank called again. What? They called the next day? You telling me they ain't had the money? And Mrs. Williams said she and her husband would work out a payment plan. Court papers show payment plan. Oh, that's so good. Hey, I put something on it. Mm-hmm. On $107,000. I put something on it, man. Look, man, if you willing to work with me for $100,000.
Y'all gave me a loan.
If you guys are willing to work with me for $1,070 a month, I'll put $100 on it a month. We'll take care of this, okay? There ain't no need to call the police, get them involved. Okay, we got y'all. Why you hanging up? The court paper showed that after the two initial phone calls from the bank, the couple had no contact with bank representatives, despite several attempts by the bank to reach. Oh, they sent them motherfuckers a voicemail.
They know what's gonna happen though. And the sad part, the bank might have been even willing to work with you for the payments, but with you not contacting them, because they want their money. So with you not contacting them at all, they was like, oh, bitch, you think you ain't paying? The fuck?
The couple is now facing felony theft charges. They were released on $25,000 bail. I wonder how they got the bail money.
Mm-hmm. Like, that from some extra money they didn't tell them about. They stuck underneath their mattresses.
Man, that's wild. I don't even know what you do if that happens. I mean, I'm not spending the money, but that's because I'm exactly afraid of what happened to them. Is you going to jail, and I don't want to go to jail.
Too many checks and balances. Somebody somewhere was doing a balance statement sheet and was like, the fuck.
Adele Lim, have you ever heard of her?
Mm-mm.
Well, she is one of the writers on Crazy Rich Asians, which opened up #1 at the box office last year.
Mm-hmm.
And made $238.5 million global. Well, apparently she has left the filming the writing crew for the second movie because of a pay disparity.
So they didn't want to pay her.
Apparently, even after making all that money, although director John M. Chu had hoped to keep the creative team intact, co-writer Adele Lim no longer involved with the project, Hollywood Reporter has learned. At issue is a pay parody. Co-writer Peter Shirelli, not an Asian person, as an experienced feature scribe who broke out in the 2009 with The Proposal, was to be paid a significantly higher fee than Lim, a veteran TV writer who never had penned a feature until Chu hired her to work on the screenplay. Before Chu boarded the project, producers Nina Jacobson and Brad Simpson of Color Force had already enlisted Shirelli to adapt Kevin Kwan's 2013 best-selling novel. Being evaluated that way can't help but make you feel that is how they view my contribution, said Lim, who believes that women and people of color often are regarded as soy sauce hired to sprinkle culturally specific details on a screenplay rather than credited with the substantive work of crafting the story.
Come on, tell it.
She declined to provide specific figures, but sources say the Warner Brothers starting offers were $800,000 to $1 million for Shirelli, the man, and for her, $110,000+.
And y'all made all that goddamn money? The fuck? I'd have walked too. Fuck you bitches.
Keep in mind, specifically with this story, we're talking about the reason that movie was successful was because of all the cultural references that made it feel to many Asian people, this is authentic to our experience.
Right.
This is a callback to our culture. The blend, like the little details, the touches on all this stuff. You're not going to have a white person get all that right. And so to turn around and be like, this person was not even remotely as important to what we were doing as this white dude, like, does seem fucked up. Mm-hmm. Especially when you know y'all made way more money than y'all thought y'all were gonna make.
Right.
So it's not like y'all was, like, y'all are anticipating making the more money or the same money again. That's just what people do with sequels. Y'all think y'all are gonna tap into this again, and y'all like, oh, we don't need that part anymore.
And they underestimate, this is major, and a lot of people are gonna be like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna watch the second one.
And this is the same Hollywood, like, people always forget that a big part of Me Too is pay equality.
Yes, it is.
And the Time's Up movement is pay equality. It's not all sexual assault shit, a lot, or, you know, sexual harassment. A lot of it is like, we also are not getting paid our worth. And I mean, I can see how that would be very insulting.
Yeah, and y'all, this will be like Ryan Coogler not coming back for Black Panther 2. People be like, the fuck is this?
Complicating matters was the fact that Lim had already inked the first position contract with Disney Animation for 4 years, but the Malaysian-born writer who was penning its Southeast Asian mythology-influenced feature, Raya and the Last Dragon, says that Disney would have been willing to do a carve-out on her ability. So, like, they would have let her co-write this movie.
And you know what? This is they lost, because all she gonna do, this was like, oh, word. I bet you Kevin Feige ears cranked up. Oh, word. Somebody ears cranked up over there. I was like, oh, word. We got something for you.
After Lynn, well, she already had that deal with Disney.
I mean, yeah, she got that deal. They was like, you know what? We got something even more for you now.
Well, she's writing Raya and the Last Dragon.
Right.
So that's not out yet. So, like, she was gonna get Disney work, period. Like, not even right. Out of spite. Like, they were going to put her to work, period. What she's saying is, as big as Disney is, as busy as they stay, they were going to let her go and work with Crazy Rich Asians too.
Right.
So, like, it wasn't even a conflict. It wasn't even a, I can't do this thing. Like, she's in demand. And y'all, this is how y'all treated a in-demand writer. That's what I'm saying. Is
right.
It's not like she was just like, they're like, well, what fucking else are you going to do? Take our offer or shut the fuck up. No. This is literally somebody that got a deal writing the movie, and y'all were still like, yeah, bitch, you worth some pennies, so if you can go and get out of here. You work for 10th Melch, this white man co-writer. So she walked away from a deal last fall. Color Force spent about 5 months filled in other writers of Asian descent for the job. Man,
I know people was like, I don't want that job, dog. Cause
what do you do if you get that call?
Right, because you got to be like, well, I know she walked away. They not paying her. I know they're not paying me. And honestly,
well, see, you might be worth 110. You see what I'm saying? What do you do? If, like, say, like, they moving down on the list. Now they're picking people that aren't in demand, people that need work. And now, if I fucking take this job, I basically undercut another Asian person in the industry. Like, you now made me a fucking line crosser in a boycott, almost, you know?
Right.
Damn.
And it's so fucked up because nobody's asking the actors, but I wonder how the actors feel about this. Like, you know, because these are Asian American and Asian descent actors that are playing these roles. Like, they might not ever come out and say anything, but I know that gotta fuck you up too.
And Chu, the man who's the director of the film, who's also Asian, he was prepping to shoot Warner's In the Heights, and he was not involved in this job search thing they were doing. They came back to Lim in February with an offer closer to parity with Shirelli, who had volunteered to split his fee with her, but Lim passed. Now, here's what I would bet. You know why she knows the offer was what it was? Quote-unquote, being an ally, Shirelli probably came to her and was like, this is what they offered me. And then she was like, what? Oh, fuck that. I'm not doing it. And he's like, all right, you know. And so
he was like, do what you got to do.
So then when they came back to offer her like a new deal, he said, I'll split what I make with you. So now it's, they're taking money from me, but at least we'll both be getting paid like equals.
Right.
And she still declined it because I'm imagining she was pissed, you know.
And as the principle of the thing, you shouldn't have to split your money. They should just fucking paid me more.
Yeah, Pete has been nothing but incredibly gracious, but what I make shouldn't be dependent on the generosity of the white guy writer. If I couldn't get pay equity at the CRA, I can't imagine what it would be like for anyone else. Given that the standard for how much we're worth is having established quotes from previous movies, which women of color would never have been hired for, there's no realistic way to achieve true equity that way, which is the point. People go, and this is one of the reasons you, no offense, but like, or I shouldn't say no offense, but this is one of the reasons you just can't listen to men that talk about like women in industry or when it comes to white people, color people of color in the industry. You can't listen to them because they'll say shit like, well, we want to hire people, but no one has experience. Well, no one has experience because you don't want to hire them.
Right.
Doesn't mean they can't do the job. You literally have created this own self-fulfilling prophecy of, if I never give you a chance, then I can always say you don't deserve a chance. And that's what's happening. It's like the NFL. People always go, well, there's not enough black head coaches. You're right. But who are we going to hire? I mean, we would need some black offensive coordinators. Okay, so why don't y'all have any black offensive coordinators? Well, who we gonna hire? We would need some black wide receiver coach. Like, all the way down to like, we don't hire black people on any level, so then we always use the level below to justify why we don't fuck with them. And that's the part that, you know, escapes a lot of folks when it comes to this analysis. And they're not nearly as smart as they think. And that's what happens when it comes to women and comedy, mm-hmm. women in Hollywood. We can always justify like, bitch, just be happy with what you're getting, because we're giving you a chance when we normally wouldn't give you a chance at all. So take a tenth of what you're worth, because we weren't going to call a Asian woman about this role, period.
Yeah, and then got offended when she was like, suck my dick, I'm out.
Right. But she says, Peter's been nothing but incredibly gracious. But what I make sure... Oh, I already said this part. All right, yeah, so... she says, for now, work on, but the article says, for now, work on the sequels. It's slowly moving forward. Shirelli writing with you, delivering the first draft of a 10-page treatment to the studio in late July, and they're still exploring how much of the source material Kwan's trilogy includes, 2015 China Rich Girlfriend and 2017 Rich People Problems to adapt. Although Crazy Rich Asians film adaptation deviates from the first novel in key aspects, the book ends with Nick and Rachel, played by Henry Golden and Constance Wu, together but not engaged, estranged from Eleanor Michelle Yeoh, while Astrid Gemma Chan is still with her. Okay, that's just details on this fucking book. All right, but yeah, that's interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah,
to see how the actors are gonna respond, and also to see how the general public is going to respond, because it's going to be a lot of people that when they hear this, they're going to be like, oh, y'all really wouldn't bite about it and dedicated as we thought. And right. Some Asian people are going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to see number two, because this is making me question whether or not I want to see number two. Because I was like, yeah, I don't know. Is it going to be as good? Like, the fuck?
Yeah, that's just sad, too, because, like, you're talking about people that, are trying to make a living in this industry,
right?
And you use the numbers they take against them. So what I'm guessing is, whatever she got paid for the first movie, they were like, well, this is a raise from that, so what's the problem? It's like, because I'm never gonna get pay equality, I'm never gonna move up enough. You're always gonna pay me pennies on the dollar compared to my compatriots that are white males, because you didn't pay me enough in the first place. So every time I accept one of these deals, I'm really fucking myself. But if I don't accept the deal,
behind me too,
and the people behind me, yes. And if I don't accept the deal, then I don't eat. You know, luckily she got that Disney deal, so, you know. But fuck, man, that's a lot of money. Let's see what else. A rooster pecked a woman to death in a rare attack. Apparently,
was it a caged bird?
Now we know why the caged bird sings, Karen.
Yeah, now we know what a caged bird picks.
Mm-hmm. On the heels of a report from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention about backyard chicken spreading illnesses to people in 49 states, comes a...
Ooh.
Yeah, yard birds, Karen. Comes a harrowing tale about a woman who was killed by a rooster that delivered a lethal strike to a varicose vein in her leg. She bled out. According to the report, which was published in the Journal of Forensic Science, Medicine, and Pathology, the 76-year-old had been collecting eggs at her home in Australia. When the aggressive rooster attacked her lower left leg, the woman collapsed, with an autopsy later revealing the two small lacerations on her leg, including one in a varicose vein. Her cause of death was listed as exsanguination, which is basically severe blood loss caused by the rooster's aggressive pecking. The attack is considered rare by the report's authors, which with one telling Live Science that it demonstrates that even relatively small domestic animals may be able to inflict lethal injuries in individuals if there are specific vascular vulnerabilities present.
No shit, the animals.
Yeah. I mean,
so people just people do have animals as pets. I know it ain't, I was just thinking farms, but a lot of people just have animals as pets, huh?
Fresh eggs. I mean, is it the thing you have to ask is it the varicose veins being present, or is it the rooster pecking them that is the cause of this? You know, and I mean, you could go back and forth because it's a really chicken or the egg argument.
It really is.
I'm sorry, that wasn't exactly an excellent pun.
You think that lady laid that there so long she became sunny side up?
I just think she shouldn't have been playing chicken with that rooster.
You think when they found her she was fried hard?
Probably it's in Australia. They might not even know it was her. You know what they say. Birds of a feather. All right, that was terrible.
You know what? The chicken didn't know she was going to go over that easy. I couldn't help myself, y'all.
I got a picture of the rooster here, and it looks like it was a... like it's pretty big. It's like a big black cock took down another white lady. Alright, yeah, I guess she was henpecked to death. Let's everybody probably is begging us to move on.
I know, ain't they?
And I get it, guys. I wonder if it was like Foghorn Leghorn. I say ma'am, you need to back up off of me, missy. And it just ate her veins. Oh man, that's a terrible way to die.
Ain't it though?
Get to heaven and everybody like, what happened to you? A fucking chicken killed me. How? I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm as surprised as you. I'm here,
I'm laying there slowly bleeding out. This one, I'll choke that chicken to death. Oh, choke that chicken. I didn't even mean to do that one. All right, like we both going together.
We both going out.
That's, but you know what though, human beings, 20 trillion chickens, one. You got one, guys. Congratulations.
They got one. Welcome for the ancestors.
Welcome to the scoreboard. That motherfucking was that was Nat Turner the chicken over there.
To freedom.
That motherfucker had been watching Chicken Run all day. He's like, watch this. What's watching this? This is a heist. She come out on his own. I might can't fly, but I'm getting the fuck up out of here, okay? I will be free. Alright. Let's get into some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe makes us feel fucked with the weird sign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Hey, let's see who's fucking with us, guys. Quite a few people. Sacramento will pay $2.4 million to Stephen Clark's children. If you guys remember, he was the guy who was killed wearing a black hoodie. Police were called about a man wearing a black hoodie breaking into a car or something like that, saying he's breaking car windows in Sacramento. They arrived on the scene. Clark was shot and found dead in his family's backyard, shot 7 times. Officers claimed they thought he had a weapon, which turned out to be a cell phone, because everything's a weapon in a black man's hands.
Everything.
According to CNN, most of the money will be placed into a trust for the Clark's boys, now 5 and 2 years old, who will be able to access it tax-free over 3 years, starting when each child turns 22. About a quarter of the money will go to the lawyers, including the firm of high-profile civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump. Oh, he got one. Y'all don't talk about that, though. In January, Clark's family filed a $20 million wrongful death lawsuit against the city. And officers involved, oh wait, so it's kind of a loss too, because they filed $20 million and only got 2.4. What's a black life worth, I guess?
Come on.
And really, it's not about paying for a black life, it's paying for the ability to take them with impunity.
That's what they're paying for,
because the officers ain't going to jail. So Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, I mean, as always with these stories, it's like a permanent 100, but man, I hate to say this, man, but I'm starting to be like less enraged by it. It's been this way for quite some time, but it's like, I don't know, it feels like business as usual. Like, yep, this is the process. They shoot us. It's wrong. This on camera. We have an argument on the news about what's okay and what's not okay about it. Then we have a trial a year or so later when nobody really can be like bothered except for black people who are already upset when it happened. Then there's no justice for it. No police officers get fired no police officers go to jail. It's not criminal to do it. And then we may or may not see the police officers get fired after the trial because they don't like firing those people, even though they're negligent and they did things wrong. They don't like firing them till after the trial because they don't want to prejudice the jury, which when you think about it, if they were fireable, it's not prejudicing the jury to fire them. You're literally lying and saying these people are competent police officers and trying to fool the jury and to be like, no, they're competent police officers, no mistakes were made. As soon as the trial's over, it's like, y'all gotta get the fuck out of here, y'all made all kinds of mistakes, but you won't be going to jail. And then the last step is we give the family some money in a civil case because we absolutely were wrong, we did violate civil rights, and we did take this person's life over and over and over fucking again. So yeah, that's why it's always 100. But I, like I said, it's at the same time as politics as usual.
Yeah, and it's purposely designed like that to wear you down and wear you out. Like, literally, that's how it's designed. And, you know, particularly the way news and social media and shit is now, everything's so fast, everything's so quick and fast and quick and fast and quick. And the average person don't have the longevity to follow the cases. And the sad part about it is so many cases, names start blending, families, like everything is almost like a big, particularly if you black and you care, it's a big blur.
What's amazing to me, even after all this time, it shouldn't be amazing, but it's still amazing to me, as much as white people love money, as much as white taxpayers claim to love money because they feel like an attachment to it that, you know, I don't think black people do, this is one expense that they're always willing to pay.
Always.
You never see anyone come at the police departments on just a strictly financial level. Like, I am pissed at the fact that y'all cost us X amount of taxpayer money because y'all don't know how to handle these crimes. Like, no, white people look at this as a cost of doing business. Like, hey, if it costs millions of dollars to keep these niggers in place, to keep them in line, then I'm gonna just go ahead and chalk that up to the cost of business. Like, it's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, it's on the balance sheet.
Like, they give a fuck if somebody gets welfare. They give a fuck if somebody gets unemployment benefits too long. They give a fuck if, like, what you spend your EBT card money on. They care about that. Oh, you get steaks instead of ramen noodles? Nah, fuck that. No. I'm measuring every penny of this motherfucking tax money. But when the police are like, oh man, we just can't stop killing these black people, guess we'll just have to give up a couple more $100,000 in court. They're like, I don't know, whatever. That's what it's got to take. Breaking. Dean of students resigns after pictures of past tweets surface. The dean is black, just so you guys know. Jamie R. Rowley, the University of Alabama's assistant vice president and dean of students, resigned from his position on Thursday after less than 7 months on the job. His resignation comes a day after Breitbart News, home of Dave Chappelle, the best comedy they've ever seen, published an article detailing images of past tweets from Riley in which he criticized the American flag and made a connection between police and racism. Jackson Fuentes, press secretary for the UA Student Council Government Association, confirmed at 4:15 p.m. that Riley is no longer working at the university. So why did he quit? I'm gonna go back a sentence. Because past tweets surfaced in which he criticized the American flag and made a connection between police and racism. So he had to quit. Not he got caught calling people out their names, not some sexual stuff, not some Me Too stuff, not crime. He was like, man, police kind of racist. Nigga, you have to go. You can't be saying that down here at the University of Alabama. For us right now, basically all I could tell you is that the university and Dr. Riley have mutually agreed to part ways. So yeah, that's true. And we do wish him the best. In the email at 5, they must have asked him to apologize. That's all I can think.
He was like, no, the fuck no.
Yeah. Breitbart News has a reputation for being an ultra conservative news opinion and commentary website. The article reads, the author reached out to the university last week to receive a comment on Riley's past tweet, but that a statement was not given. The article also says Riley's Twitter account appears to be private on Friday morning, so only his followers can view his account. But of course, screenshots are forever. The American flag represents a systemic history of racism for my people. Police are part of that system. Is it that hard to see the correlation? That was his tweet. That was September 26, 1917. Probably talking about Kaepernick.
1917.
I'm sorry, 2017.
Okay.
1917, y'all. He's a Highlander. Okay, a long time ago, him and Davin McLeod. Anyway, my bad. 2017. He says, "I'm baffled about how the first thing white people say is that's not racism when they can't even experience racism. You have zero opinion. #Hashtag miss me with your privilege." Yeah, gotta get him out of there. Gotta fire him, right? Are movies about slavery truly about educating the unaware or to remind black people of our place in society? Oh, he was too woke on that one. October 6, 2016, when he made that one. And so, of course, you know, the usuals came at him. Laura Ingraham, who said all kinds of racist shit, was like, this is the real racism.
Mm-hmm. The racist come out, and it's not my action, it's what you said that's the problem.
Then he deleted his account.
Makes sense.
Tweets from Riley's deleted Twitter account have been recovered, confirming that he did send the tweets mentioned in the Breitbart's article. Unite for Reproductive and Gender Equality urged UA, a sexual reproductive justice advocacy student union, a student organization at the University of Alabama, released a statement on Friday regarding the recent resignation of former assistant vice president and dean of students Jamie R. Kelly. As urged, UA is affiliated with the University of Alabama. We would like to make a statement on a recent occurrence at the university. This Thursday, you know, he resigned, blah, blah, blah. We are deeply saddened to see Dr. Riley lead the university. He was always extremely supportive of our mission every time we interacted with our organization. His views and experience as a black man working in a predominantly white institution were incredibly valuable to the, was it though? Not to the actual university. Valuable to the University of Alabama. We are extremely disappointed that the university led him to feel like resigning was the best decision. Yeah, man.
Yeah, they probably had a talk. He probably didn't want to meet their demands and he walked. Guaranteed.
I'm sure they told him to take it back.
Right.
And was like, this was probably him being like, no. I'd rather die, and now he ain't got a job.
I don't have to do nothing but stay black and die.
And he was absolutely right, and he's on the right side of history, and sometimes you gotta be okay with that, you know? Like, there's certain costs you're gonna pay, you know, when you on the right side of history and shit, cause it's never cool when it's happening. It's all, when it's happening, you always a piece of shit. Every single time. And then later on, it's like, that was a noble, history always remembers those people. You know? Like, I like Ida B. Wells, you know. People talk about Martin Luther King like he's a saint. Y'all killed him. Like, he was considered a troublemaker when he was alive. You know, so this is more the same shit, really. 0 to 100, Kern.
Oh, 100.
Okay. I would give it 100 as well. That's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Ousted Papa John's founder donates $1 million to HBCU Simmons College of Kentucky.
Good.
Papa John's founder John Schnatter is donating $1 million to historically black college, Simmons College of Kentucky. John is making and will continue to make an important difference. Reverend Kevin Cosby, president of Simmons College of Kentucky, said in a statement per Louisville Courier Journal, his support will have a profound impact on Simmons' capacity to serve our city, state, and nation. It's been a pleasure to work with Dr. Cosby and Dr. Tolbert to learn about the important work they are doing in our community, Schnatter said in a statement of his own. I'm proud to support their efforts to help lift up those who want to better their own lives and the lives of those around them. Oh man. Yeah, 0 to 100.
Can I keep it real?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fuck with.
Of course you can keep it. You can always keep it real on here.
I'm not fuck with at all because Papa John's, and this is my reality when it came to a lot of things. The way some people treat the NFL was how I treated Papa John's. I see the correlation to it. Maybe not for everybody, but for me, I was very upset when this stuff came out. Roger know I love Papa John's. So for me to be, I was forecotting because I was like, I'm not eating that shit. And Roger bringing it in, and I wouldn't eat it. I was like, no, fuck that bitch. Mm-hmm. And Roger know I love Papa John's. You call it shit a pizza, whatever you want to call it. I know it ain't the best pizza in the world, but I loved it. So for me, that was a big stand for me, because for me it was actually giving up something. But I didn't have like these demands or anything that I really wanted. And then they got off the board and they fired him and all that stuff, and I was still mad. Like, I was just upset. Roger was trying to be reasonable with me, and I was like, nope, fuck them, bitch, fuck them, fuck them, fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. And Roger was like, well, what else did you want them to do? He was there, he's no longer with the organization. You still mad? Are you mad just to be mad now? Like, and it really actually made me sit down and think about it. I didn't really have no demands, and I was being unreasonable, and I was like, you know what, this shit ain't that important. Because they're doing the shit that we ask them to do. A lot of places don't do shit. They do this fucked up shit. There's no actions. There's no remorse. There's no nothing. They just do the shit and keep going. And people act like everybody does it. But when they don't do that, they still receive the same punishment, you know, to most people, as though they didn't do shit. They did something. And I know the bar is low, la 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 la. I understand that. And I'm not saying that you have to forgive or anything like that. All I'm saying is that I had to be reasonable. You know, he don't do no commercials no more. He's not the face anymore. And if he chooses to do this, that's fine. If he's sincere or not, only time will tell. And actually, I don't give a fuck. People benefited from the money he gave. Good. Because that's the thing. People that complain about shit, that money don't directly impact your goddamn life. You're not gonna be getting no scholarship. You're not gonna be, so it's real easy for people to be like, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, because you're not getting any help or assistance from it. Like, it's not directly impacting your life. So for me, good. Take all this money that you got and do something with it, you know. And this is also what we require people to do. And then we complain when they do give. It's like, so where are the lines? Most people don't have them. Most people don't have no demands when it comes to these boycotts. Most people don't have no structure of what they want to do. They're just mad. And so when you're mad and you have this ball full of anger that you don't know what to do with, you just shoot it at everybody. I'm mad. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody get that anger. And a lot of times when you're angry like that, it's not based in any type of how can I say it? I won't say common sense. It's not based in any type of rationality.
Also, I look differently at charity than other people do. I actually wonder if people really do give to any charity when they complain or when they're talking about it, because everybody's measure of what is actually charitable is like how much it hurts you to give. So, right. Like, if you gave half of your wealth, then that's actual charity. But that's not how I look at charity. I look at charity as, what was the ask? Did they need it? And what did it do for them? That's how you should look at in my opinion, that's how you should look at charity, rather than be like, what's your net worth? This ain't enough. Like, nobody, there is never going to be a number that's enough,
right?
It doesn't matter. Colin Kaepernick gave a million of his salary to a million to charity, right? And we all applaud that, and we walk around talking about how great that is. Colin Kaepernick's worth $20 million. None of us go, that ain't enough. We're like, yeah, that's great. You know, and he gave it to like 10 different causes or something like that. Like, it was a different cause every month. We like, the measuring stick of pocket watching with the shit is what's whack to me. It's, did the organization need that money, and what will it do for them? $1 million to a HBCU is so fucking much, because
right.
you need that shit to help, one, draw students, to help get better facilities, better, all that stuff. They're chronically underfunded. They're criminally overlooked when it comes to giving. Like, white people donate shit to white universities all the time, and people walk right by our shit. Black people will donate to white universities and not white black ones all the time. The same way we was all hyped when Beyonce did Homecoming and all the black like HBCU regalia around it, we was like, yes, this is what we fucking talking about, you know? And then she gave money to him at the end. Like, none of us was like, this ain't enough. Yeah, it didn't break you, you know? So I think that's a big part of it. So for me, because I look at it the opposite way of like, yo, that's a lot of money to a university that's gonna help put more black professionals into the workplace and the workforce, because we still do attend these universities at much higher rates. So yeah, man, good. And especially with considering the dire straits that they're in, when you're talking about being underfunded under Trump's administration, and when you're talking about the lack of people giving back, literally this might be the thing that keeps this university around. Like, this might not be the thing that's like, you know, like, oh, big whoop, it's just a new building. Like, no, this might be what keeps this university here. Because what was gonna happen is, when the shit closes, it's like when a Netflix show gets canceled. We all talk about how sad it is.
Right.
But were you watching? Were you attending? Were you giving back to it? Were you funding it? No, you weren't doing shit. Well, then shut the fuck up. Like, that's how I look at that stuff. So, to me, I'm like, that's a lot. The second thing about this is this. Everyone forgets the details of why the fuck we don't like Papa John. Everybody forgets the details. Is what he did literally wasn't that bad. I hate to tell motherfuckers this. That's why on the show I just laughed about it, because I'm like, this shit is so funny. He literally was not as fucked up as we are making him out to be. But it was too easy of a joke. His name is Papa John's. He's on the fucking box. He's in every commercial. It's too funny to let it go. But like, people like, he said the N-word on that call. He said, I'm not like Colonel Sanders. People fuck with Colonel Sanders. He used to call black people nigger. And people were like, oh, he said it. He gotta go. He wasn't saying, hey, niggers at Papa John's. Listen, guys, we need to get these niggers in line. It just didn't matter. You know, we know that he's a fucking Republican, and we know I'm assuming, but I would assume he's a Republican, and we know that that nigga didn't like the kneeling shit, and he tried to be like, hey man, kneeling is bad for business in the NFL, y'all need to do something about it. And that's really how he got on everybody's bad side, because he was uncomfortable with that shit. Turns out he was probably right about that. They did lose business for the kneeling shit on both sides. Black people, white people, whoever was mad about it that stopped watching, they did lose business, because you can't really legislate social justice via the NFL. You're never going to be able to do it. So once again, man, I never found what he did to be as infuriating as a lot of people did. But, and then in the wake of that, the company did every move we claim we want companies to make. We have all this fucking, you need to apologize by doing this, this, and this. You need to hire people to do this. You need to do that. You need to get rid of the people that fucked up. And they did it. And I still see niggas mad at Papa John's, like Pizza Hut better or something. Like all these other companies somehow are better. You know, like eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich, mad at Papa John's. Like, it's so funny to me. So to me personally, it's like, I've never been that fucked with by any of it, just because his case just wasn't that egregious to me. It feels more like I'm happy that good stuff came out of it.
That's how I feel.
You know, I'm happy that Papa John started promoting more black employees and black businesses, because they're franchises. They're not, he doesn't own them all. That's not how it works. You get a license for the Papa John's, you can open your own. So there's a lot of black franchises that got hurt by this, you know, and to the point where they were doing commercials with the black franchise people.
Right.
They hired the woman, a black woman, to do the PR and stuff. They fired him, you know, got him off of the board or whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm just not as fucked with by it, but I would definitely, yeah, I give this a zero as well. I would play the cookout music to make the joke go further, but I'm gonna be real. It's never been a cookout thing for him. It's just literally I'm glad that HBCU got something out of this, because
we'll take your money. Like I said, regardless of if he changed or not, bigot money spend just like everybody else's money.
Right.
You know, and that's the truth on that. You know, for some people, you know, they'll go, well, I don't want it. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But if you're in a situation where you need it, sometimes turning shit down ain't an option.
Yeah, like this story, I'm not bothered by. I still think he is mostly a piece of shit.
Agreed.
Like, two things can exist at the same time, where I'm like, I wouldn't want this nigga at the cookout with me, but appreciate the money, good on you, you know what I'm saying? But to me, he's just a typical white man, you know. I remember when we was covering him a long time ago, he was against
raising
wages by putting a nickel per pizza. Like, our price would go up a nickel per pizza, and that would move our employees to a different standard of minimum wage. No. So he's just a Republican white man to me. But yeah, some good came out of this shit. So
yes, sir.
I don't know. Niggas gonna just be mad. So zero for us, and let the chat be mad. All right. I mean, look, niggas gotta be mad to somebody. Why not him? All right, let's see. I want to do another one. Yeah, we'll do. Nah, actually, I don't want to do another one. Fuck this.
Okay.
Let's go do some guest erase. What's my guest erase music? And boom. Wow, what happened to the volume? Hold up.
Okay, I was fault. Like, ooh, it's low.
My fault, y'all. Let's try it again. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants to guess the race of the people involved. That's right. And of course, everyone playing is a racist, including Karen, who's playing as well. Let's see, Karen. An argument between West Virginia pastors' wives ends with gunfire in the church parking lot.
Oh, shit. We capping on church grounds?
We are capping on church grounds, okay? The Holy 45 was ringing. A pastor's wife in West Virginia has been charged with reckless endangerment after allegedly firing a gun in the church parking lot. The pastor's wife, wow. She came with that heat.
Mm-hmm.
Melinda Fry Tony, 44, is accused of pulling out a pistol that accidentally discharged during an argument with another pastor's wife. Pastor's wife on pastor wife violence. You hate to see first ladies go at it like that, okay?
No, not the first ladies.
First ladies is like Highlanders. There can only be one, okay?
Apparently so.
Second Highlander reference today. Tony is the wife of New Life pastor Earl Tony, while the other woman, Lori Haywood, is married to New Life's youth pastor, David Haywood. Fayette Sheriff's Detective Kevin Willis told the Beckley Register Herald the animosity between the two women had been simmering for some time. The husbands had thought the women should publicly bury the hatchet to avoid additional strife. Oh, sound like someone brought a bury the hatchet to a gunfight.
Come on.
The pastor and the wife, the pastor and the youth pastor had thought maybe we could get them together, we could hash this out, fix this before it escalates. Of course, it just made things worse, I think. Damn, we need a real housewife, we need real first ladies of West Virginia.
Apparently so.
Reality show. According to Willis, the straw that broke the camel's back was an argument over a t-shirt Haywood was wearing. Haywood will only say we had a disagreement. When we sat down to talk, I called her out and she lost it. According to authorities, Melinda walked out of the church during a disagreement and went to her car in the parking lot where she had her handgun. Realizing what she intended, Earl had followed her outside. Baby, please don't shoot it. Please, please. Willis reports Pastor Tony intercepted his wife before she was able to come back inside the church and attempted to wrestle the gun out of her hand. The weapon fired a single shot during the struggle, but nobody was hurt. She was going to shoot somebody with a gun over a shirt. Haywood, who was leaving the church when the gun discharged, called the police and told them that she was Tony's intended target. The department reviewed parking lot surveillance footage, but couldn't determine whether the pistol was aimed at Haywood before it was fired. Mrs. Tony owned the handgun legally with a concealed carry permit. We were just trying to leave peacefully, Haywood told the Register Herald. The reason for the shooting was stupid and very unnecessary. Now, are they going to be in church again this Sunday? Like, is right now, are they in church? Mm-hmm. Melinda declined to speak to the police after her arrest and requested an attorney instead, according to Willis, who added that a mental evaluation of her may be part of the investigation. Karen, guess the race of the shooter, Melinda, what is her first? Melinda Fry Tony.
Oh, everybody black.
Everybody's black. All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Nicknamed the gun My Shepherd Black. God bless the Second Amendment White. Bitch, that is my MAGA t-shirt, white. I'm gonna pop a cap in your Genesis West Virginia Mountain Dew mouth, white. White, still active after services to get the GAT, white. All the people say shoot, black. Mentaling? I don't know what that means.
Mental, because you said she had to get
mental white. Okay, mental illness white, I guess. I carry a knife in my purse black. So a lot of people went black, a lot of people went white on this one. Karen, you said black. Mm-hmm. Well, the correct answer is, turn my volume up, they were white. West Virginia, you think we the only people who get to shooting up at the church? Come on now.
I was just going by, you know, by the name. You know, we normally have to have them New Life Ebenezer Baptist Church on the Vine, Christ Church. So
that's the name of the church. I didn't even notice. But yeah, the minute you got it right. Melinda wasn't playing with you hoes, okay? Mm-hmm.
And Melinda could be a black name now.
Look at her hair, man. This, when was this picture taken?
She got the 80s.
Like, just taking it Sears and Roebuck back in the mall.
Come on. Like, you took them old school 1980 glamour shots.
Right. Oh, this is y'all prom picture? Man. But, yeah, she was, got the cap and she's about to send some people to the Lord a little early.
Yeah, she was.
Okay, tell them Melinda said hey. Let's see here. How about this one? The FBI wants tips in a bank robbery, but the suspect's tattoo says stop snitching.
What?
The FBI is looking into a bank robbery suspect, but that will run counter to the command tattooed on the man's chest, stop snitching. Shane McKee, 37, was part of a two-man crew that held up St. Louis Community Credit Union in Jennings. Authorities say he and his partner were alleged to have entered the bank around 11 a.m. May 5th, 2018, with their guns drawn. Authorities say McKee was wearing a construction vest and a ski mask. The robbers ordered a teller to give them cash, and once they had it, they ran off on foot, St. Louis County Police said in 2018. This morning, the FBI sent out a wanted poster of McKee, including the physical description. He's 5'4", 134 pounds, and along with the stop snitching tattoo on his chest, he has Pitbull and Rest in Peace Chewy inked on his back. He also has Terry with a heart on his neck, another pit bull on his right shoulder, and Shirley with a flower on his right wrist. The FBI said there's now a federal warrant for his arrest, and tips did come in and they did catch him. Karen, guess the race of Mr. Shane McKee.
Oh, Shane is all them pit bulls black. They was named King.
All right, Nelly and the Saint Lunatics held the gun sideways black, blackety black. Black, that Shirley's son, black, a lot of blacks, black, so black. Wow, okay, black, like we got a black out here, guys. The correct answer is, and everybody guessed it, is black. Nobody missed that one. So yeah, he was out here, stop snitching. I guess nobody listened to the tattoos.
No, they didn't.
Did you see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
Yeah, cool. According to that quote-unquote coon y'all call Jay-Z, they would be up in there getting their haircut.
Yeah, gotta cut them dreads off of this nigger. Okay, by the way, shout out to all the hypocritical black people out there that's upset that Jay-Z wants them to cut their hair. Okay, I saw what y'all said about Jerry Rice. I saw what y'all said.
Come on.
Okay, y'all some goddamn hypocrites. All that respectability politics. Oh no, it's not that right. He got too much forehead. Too much forehead for your respectability, sis? I think not. Let that man have his natural hair and be proud. And if you need a more recent example, I saw what you said about Dwight Howard and his new haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about y'all ain't into respectability politics. Y'all some goddamn respectability parlor tricks, cause you a lie. Anyway, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. As Karen is now 1-1. Let's see if she can finish on a high note.
I hope so.
Justice for Jerry Rice, guys. Hashtag justice for Jerry. Y'all did that black man wrong for trying to live his natural hair true. Ain't got the nerve to be mad at some Jay-Z. Boy, I swear y'all motherfucking coons cannot keep a story straight to save y'all lives. A woman, 38, tries to avoid drug charges by impersonating her 21-year-old daughter.
What?
A Utah woman was arrested over the weekend for allegedly posing as her 21-year-old daughter in an attempt to avoid drug possession charges.
Did she have the power in her name, too?
The what?
The power.
What does that mean?
The power bill in a name too.
Oh. Heather Garcia, 38, was pulled over in Davis County on Saturday after officer noticed that her BMW didn't have a license plate. According to Fox San Antonio, officers from Davis County Police Department searched her vehicle and found drug paraphernalia and a white powdery substance. Police said Garcia then told them that her name was Mercedes and she was born in 1998. At that point, the officers didn't realize that Garcia had given them her daughter's information, but they soon figured that out through the records check. When officers pulled up Garcia's information, they discovered she had outstanding warrants. So you was about to let your daughter catch a whole charge. Garcia was charged with drug possession, driving with a revoked license, and offering false personal info to a police officer. She's currently being held in Davis County Jail under active warrants and the new charges. Karen, guess the race of Heather Garcia.
Heather Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that last name.
Mm-hmm.
Garcia. I'm still gonna go black.
You're going black. Okay, all right, hold up.
Latinx.
Latinx, okay. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Soon to be deported. Wow. Brown Latinx. Latinx loves pumpkin spice and burritos. White passing Latinx. Mormons gone wild. White. Spicy white passing Latina. I'm gonna say white. Just married to the life. Riding around without license plates and drug paraph and didn't think and don't think she is going to get stopped. White, but married to a Latinx impad nigga. Ricky Martin. The correct answer is, and Karen went with Latinx, and you know what, Karen, you were right, she's Latinx. Now I don't know how she thought she was getting away with passing for 21.
She looked like the wife of the dude from the Addams Family.
Yeah, and the reason I say Latinx, because some people will be like, "No, she's white, white passing Latinx." I do agree that she could be considered white passing, except that for the tattooed eyebrows. Come on, guys, we know what that is. All right, let's be honest with each other. She's Latinx. Wow. I can't believe she tried to. That's how they knew. They was like, "You are not 21, ma'am.
Come on,
you need to go to jail." I need to get that sound bite. That's one of my favorite moments from Family Guy. I don't know why it's so random, but when Peter tells Meg, "You going to jail," I don't know why the fuck that's
out
so
the
funny.
Blue.
It has nothing to do with anything. All right, sword ratchet this time.
Me and my mama could ever be cool again. You pull some bullshit like that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Let's see, the terrifying moment: a man armed with a huge samurai sword robbed a Tenerife tourist bar popular with Brits has been caught on CCTV, not to be confused with BBC TV and not to be confused with black.com. totally different things, guys.
Yeah, each one of them is something different.
Footage shows the robber entering La Bodeguito Tito's and taking out the weapon he had hidden in his trousers before making off with over 1,300 pounds. The robbery took place around 10 p.m. in the town of Puerto de la Cruz in Tenerife, the biggest of the Canary Islands, and the thug first threatened the staff with the blade. He then went to the bar where the cash register was, waving his sword and appearing to threaten staff members during the last Wednesday's robbery. The robber can then be seen turning to the workers in a threatening manner as they watch him empty the cash register, reportedly 1,361 pounds. He then walks towards the exit, but not before hiding his weapon in his trousers and walking out of the restaurant calmly in under a minute and a half. One of the restaurant workers told local media, "Fortunately, no one was injured since the workers acted in the only possible way given the circumstances." The establishment also confirmed they reported the robbery to the police. National police say they are conducting an investigation, but the identity of the thief is still unknown. The bars received rave reviews on TripAdvisor, with one satisfied customer describing it simply the best, and another said it had fantastic food. Yeah, come for the food, stay for the swordplay. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. You guys, good luck with your fantasy teams and all that stuff. But your boy won't need no luck, because I'm boycotting the league this year.
Until I will not Red Zone come back.
I will not be participating in the white man's red zone. Mm-hmm. But y'all have fun rooting for your little racist mascot teams and all that shit with your racist owners.
I'm boycotting.
And your wife beating players. Okay, some of us a little too woke. We got a little too much moral morality. Okay, we got a little too much moral superiority to y'all buffoons. But I hope
you're gonna be napping in a few hours. You're gonna be sleep like me.
I hope the opiate of the masses is able to hook straight into your drug addicted brains.
I hear you, player.
Well, anyway, go ahead, coons and sellouts. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Until then, I guess. Even though you over here winching, I guess I
love you. Come on, coons and coonettes.
I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.